I didn't believe that. Good morning. Thank you. It's a beautiful day. At least it's warm in here. We were thinking warm thoughts as we came back from Phoenix, but didn't work. So at least the heat's on in here. It's good to be together. For those joining us online, it's great that we have opportunity, seriously, to get into God's Word today. I'm excited to dig into this part of Scripture with you. If you have your Bibles, love to have them open. If you have your journals, love for you to be able to take some notes today. There will be some questions at the end that we're going to ask you to pray over, and you'll be able to record those in your journals as we finish. But I'm excited to get into this part of our message together. So I'm just going to set the table a little bit, and here's where I want to go with this before we pray. I remember as my kids were growing up, I distinctly remember there were times where myself or my wife Beth would go to one of our kids and give those words that kids love to hear. Go clean your room. Now, sometimes they responded immediately. Probably more often they needed just a little bit more encouragement. But eventually they'd do it. But here I want to tell you something that never happened. Whenever we would share those four words, this never happened. Never once did my son Taylor say, "You know what, Dad, I have memorized these four words. I can repeat them back to you, in fact, and I've even learned them in Greek and Hebrew. That is a great saying. Thank you, Dad." Never happened. My daughter, Emily, she never came up to me after hearing these words and said, "Thank you, Dad. In fact, I'm heading out to meet a group of friends at a coffee shop so we can really dig deep, study each word, and try to get what you really meant." Kids, you have a little thing maybe you can do. No, never once did my kids do that. The reason I bring it up is the main reason that God gave us His Word, one of the main reasons that Jesus taught and preached His Word like we have on the Mount, was to transform our lives from the inside out. And what that means is that we can and should read and learn and study and memorize all that Jesus taught us, but it also means that these things are intended by Jesus to radically change how we live. I mean, think about it. Knowing and memorizing and understanding God's Word, it fills our hearts with hope, it fills us with joy, it fills us with peace, because we know we're forgiven. We know that we are holy and dearly loved, but Jesus intends the beauty of all of those things to lead to a life that reflects Him into the world. And so Jesus lived and taught by example. Everything He taught, He invites us to follow Him and to live like Him. And so today, we're going to dig into that truth. I've been setting the table for you. We're going to dig into that truth as Jesus, again, leads us into, yes, expanding our knowledge base. We should be learning, but then we get to go from here today. And we get to live a life that brings Jesus into this world that desperately needs Him. Pray with me, if you will. Lord, I pray that by Your Holy Spirit, You would guide us into these beautiful words, the golden rule, as we call it, and Lord, to know that You have called us not just to know these things, but to live them and to make a difference in this world. So, Lord, I pray that You would guide and direct us, grow us as Your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we have, we've been sitting at the feet of Jesus. The Sermon on the Mount. A picture here, as we had the privilege of going to Israel, of where they claim this probably happened. And so we're sitting at the feet of Jesus, and we have a place where He had invited His disciples, in fact, invited a large group of people around Him here, and He's teaching them. So in fact, this place, and I would say this place, is also a place of learning. It was like an outdoor classroom, and Jesus is filling them, and He is filling us with a profound truth. But see, we arrive now at a point in His Sermon on the Mount. It's a pivotal point of His message. It's kind of like the culmination of everything he's been teaching us thus far, and we call it the golden rule. And again, we have it here in front of us from verse 12 of chapter 7, as Jenny read it for us. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. This sums up the law and the prophets. It's a very practical part of Jesus' sermon. It's a key takeaway. It's a life lesson. Well, since the sermon began, let's take a step back with it just a little bit. Since the sermon began, Jesus has been pouring into us his grace and mercy. He has started off by saying that you and I are extremely blessed, that our identity is in Christ Jesus, that we are children of God. Your heavenly Father then provides all that you need, and in fact, he provides more than what you need. In fact, we are far better blessed than we ever deserve. But Jesus is now saying on this part of the Sermon on the Mount, you can't just stay on the mountaintop. You can't just stay in the safety and the security of a classroom. He's calling us down off the mount and into a daily life that follows him. Because let's just be honest, right? It is so much easier and it is far less risky to just sit in a classroom learning, to memorize, to study, to discuss, to even learn Greek. It's so much easier than putting it all that we've learned into practice. We're often like Peter. There was another mount in Jesus' ministry, and when Peter, James, and John are invited to the Mount of Transfiguration, and we have this beautiful image on a different mount where Jesus shows all of his glory, all of the splendor of being the Son of God. And what does Peter do? Peter says, Jesus, let's just stay here. I'll build us some shelters. This is a beautiful place. Let's hang out here forever and ever in your glory and do all of it. Let's just make this home. But Jesus says to him in so many words, he says, that's not why I came. We have to come down off the mount because for Jesus, the most important part of his ministry was still to come. And so as we have been with Jesus on the mount where he has preached, he's saying the same thing to us. And here's the beautiful part. Jesus doesn't just send us off the mount. He leads us. He models the way. Jesus never asks you or me to do anything that he hasn't already done himself. He came down off that mountain. For him, it meant going to the cross of Calvary. So what I believe Jesus is saying in this part of his sermon is he says the Sermon on the Mount must become the Sermon on the Move. You see, we were not created to be static in our lives, to be stationary, to be anchored in one place. God created us beautifully to be on the move. Our lives are dynamic and they are full of life, but not just any kind of life. Our lives are filled by his grace and his mercy, lives that are to be lived out loud as we follow Jesus, overflowing and contagious with the joy and the hope that we have in Jesus, no matter what our circumstances around us are. Now, Jesus captures this beautiful idea of being on the move in another place right before he ascended into heaven. And he gives us something, and here, I want you to do a straw poll. If you're comfortable with this, just a raise of hands in a minute. Let me just ask it this way. How many of you, by raise of hands, how many of you know what the Great Commission is? Anybody know what the Great, does that word make sense to you? Okay, keep your hands up, keep your hands up. I know you're Lutheran, you want to put them down, but keep them up. Okay, Jesus gave it right before he ascended into heaven. How many of you, keeping your hands up, could explain the Great Commission to somebody if they asked you to? Okay? Good, good. All right, you can put them down. I just wanted to see what this is. Jesus, before he ascends into heaven, he says, go, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, here's where learning comes in, okay? The classroom setting. Here's where learning comes in. We read the word go, and you should know it because it's right there on the wall, not just on a slide. As you leave the sanctuary, it says, go make disciples, Matthew 28, 19. But here's the thing. We see go, and we hear that command of Jesus. And it is a command. Jesus says, I want you to go make disciples. But in the original Greek, it brings on a little bit different flair. Yes, it is go, but it also means as you go. And what I'm getting at here is the command isn't just a future idea that you should go do something someday. It is a present one. In other words, as you go about your daily life, as you live, make disciples. Again, Jesus is saying your life isn't just sitting in a classroom. Your life isn't just about sitting in a pew. Jesus is saying your life is a sermon. Now, I know as a pastor that we as pastors have the privilege, the honor of standing up here in a worship time to deliver a sermon. But Jesus is saying your life is a sermon. And the deep question that you and I ought to wrestle with each and every day is, what are people seeing and hearing about Jesus in my life? I mean, no one's perfect, right? But we are forgiven. But in my life, are people seeing me point to Jesus, or am I pointing people to someone or something else for them to believe in and trust in and find hope and salvation in? Now, understanding our lives as a sermon is absolutely critical to the golden rule. If we want other people to see Jesus in us, then we start, not the only thing, but we start by treating others as we would like to be treated. I would say even better, not as we'd like to be treated, but as we have been treated by God Himself. Again, we are blessed. God does not treat us as our sins deserve, because Jesus took our punishment on Himself. And because of that, God the Father fills us with grace, His undeserved love, His mercy. We are forgiven. We are blessed. We are blessed today. We are blessed tomorrow. We are blessed throughout all eternity. And so we need that. We need to learn that. We need to memorize that. We need to study that beautiful truth of God's grace in our life that we have through faith in Jesus Christ. We need to be reminded of it daily so that what? So that we can translate it into how we live our lives as His disciples. So Jesus says, as you go, as you live in this often difficult life where people will mistreat you, where injustice is rampant, where we are encouraged to play the part of the victim, instead, He says, I want you to treat others as you would like to be treated. Again, in fact, how you've been treated by God. And as you go, treat all people that way. Not just those close to you. All people, including the idiot that cut you off in traffic. Including the jerk who gossiped about you online. Including the neighbor whose behaviors and lifestyle continues to grate against your nerves. He says, God says, I want you to treat them as I have treated you, with love and kindness. Now please hear this. That is not to be confused with accepting, condoning, applauding, promoting sinful and wrong behaviors that go against God's word. But when we treat people who even live against God's word as we want to be treated, guess what? You will hopefully then earn the right to share Jesus with them. But that can be tough. I mean, that can be extremely tough. It's sometimes easier to just let people suffer, to let them wander around in darkness because we feel like they deserve it. It's easier to do that, to let them go, than it is to extend kindness and love. I'll give you a great example of this. I remember in my college days, I worked in a hospital setting for a number of years on an adolescent psychiatric unit. And when I first started that job, I had a lot of the staff come up to me and they warned me about a particular nurse. Her name was Sharon. And they said, I just want you to know that she's angry and she treats everybody horribly. They weren't kidding. The first time I met Sharon, she did her level best to put me in my place, to make sure I knew she wasn't going to take anything from anyone. And I thought, wow, you're here helping troubled teens. That's exactly where you need to be. I made up my mind right then and there. I said, you know what? I'm going to either kill her with kindness or I'm going to die trying. So every shift I worked with Sharon, I went out of my way to love on her the best I could. I might compliment her on something, or I might ask her advice on a particular patient that I was working with. I would then go do the opposite. I was there to actually help the kids, not hurt them. But that was Sharon. But believe me, I was being genuine with her. I wasn't playing a game. I wasn't trying to win a bet. I truly wanted this angry woman to know that she, and to feel that she was loved and cared for. And I'll tell you something, it worked. It worked. Over time, she softened. We actually became sort of friends a little bit. I enjoyed actually working with her. And here's the crazy thing. Everyone else benefited too. She started treating others on the unit better. But believe you me, it was hard. I had to bite my tongue. I had to choke down words that I wanted to share with her in the moment. But I tell you, as I remember that story preparing for today, I'm like, okay, great. By grace, God allowed me to maybe win over, if you will, a nurse on a hospital unit. Great. But here Jesus is asking us to win people over for him. And it starts with how we treat them. It starts with how they see him in us. It starts with you and I letting the Sermon on the Mount become a sermon on the move. Imagine with me for just a moment what God can and will do through us if he unleashes the people of Messiah to go out into this community and to treat people in the way that we want to be treated, where they see Jesus in us. Imagine the number of people that God can reach in and through us to bring them from the wide path onto the narrow path following Jesus. Now, I'm just going to be able to hit this for a moment. Pastor Andy, next week, so come back next week, we're going to talk about the narrow path and the wide path more in depth. But Jesus connects them, the golden rule, with the wide path and the narrow path. So let me just suffice it to say this. The wide path represents the ways of the world. It's people following things, believing things other than Jesus and his word. And it's crowded. It is people, full of people. They're either living in hopelessness or they've been deceived by the world that it can truly offer everlasting hope and peace, one way or the other. It's so much easier because of our sinful nature to want to be on that wide road. Because what happens on the wide road, everything, anything goes. Whatever perspective you have, whatever opinion you have, whatever belief system you have, it is welcomed, it is applauded, and our sinful nature loves the wide road, but it is all smoke and mirrors, and it leads to destruction. The narrow path represents following Jesus. It's narrow and not many are on it. Jesus invites us onto this narrow path because it is the only path that leads to true and everlasting life. Those on it, you and I, we experience everlasting joy and hope and peace no matter what our circumstances. Those on it are blessed beyond what we deserve. But the narrow path's difficult. But Jesus doesn't withhold that fact. He's right up front about it. Remember with me what he said? He goes, if anyone follows me, they have to pick up their... Didn't sound really... Well, they have to pick up their cross and follow me. It's not easy. And since when has anything of value and worth been easy? It can be tough, but there is no greater joy, no greater beauty than following our Savior. The wide road is full of people, and they're believing whatever they want. They're having whatever perspectives and views and opinions that they want. They're doing whatever feels good, but they are never filled, and they are never whole. But you and I, as we follow Jesus, even on a tough path, we are deeply loved, truly satisfied, joyful and hope-filled in all circumstances, forgiven, and we're living on purpose for Jesus. So as I finish this up, we are following Jesus. We are focused on, we're learning all the things he taught. So we believe his truth. We are forgiven. We are healed. We are made whole. And why are we doing that? Why are we learning? Why are we studying? So that we can love God. So that we can love the others around us. So that we can share Christ. It's our mission statement here at Messiah. We get to invite people to walk with us in our Savior's footsteps in the narrow path. Like I said, we're going to hear more about that next week. But here's what I want you to do. I'd love you to take your journals out or something to write with if you don't have a journal. I want to give you three questions that I'd love for you to ponder, pray over. And if you're in life group or in a Bible study or just at home, you want to share them. But just three things to get you thinking about what we talked about here today. We'll put this slide back up after our closing song. You're welcome to take a picture with it if you want on your phone, if that's easier. But basically, in what ways do I feel like the golden rule is reflected in my life? Who is a person, who's your Sharon, that you need to win over with kindness and love? And what are one or two practical steps that you can take this week to make it a sermon on the move in your life? Amen? Amen.